If you're not a Christian, you deal with it all the time. You just don't. And also maybe to help somebody here whom the devil is maybe making a bid for you. He's putting something in front of you that you shouldn't have or want, trying to get your life messed up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. We'll look at James chapter 1, verse 12. Let's just go ahead and get 1 Peter first, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 6. Right after the book of James. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That verse says, just for a little while, if it's necessary, you're in heaviness through a whole bunch of temptations that's coming on you. You're being tempted. But the Bible said it's needful. It's necessary. God is working something in your life. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now let's go ahead and read these important verses, 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You say, what about where God tempted Abraham, Brother Danny? You didn't read the verse. It said, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God don't tempt a man with evil. God don't tempt a man to sin. God tempted Abraham in the sense that he tested Abraham to see what he'd do. Same word, but God does never tempt anybody to sin. God never tempts anybody with evil. But every man is tempted, verse 14, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust, here's your Bible, LSD, lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. When sin, when he's finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I want to preach to you just a few minutes this morning on that subject, temptation. Now, the word temptation means a proposition to satisfy a good appetite in a wrong manner. Everything evil in this world is something good twisted. Everything the devil's got is something God made good to start with. The devil twists it and then tempts you to do wrong. You are tempted to satisfy a good, normal appetite in a wrong way. There's nothing in the world wrong with Adam and Eve eating, were they? But the devil made them eat the wrong thing. See, so that's what temptation is. Temptation is something everybody must expect. All the way down through the years, Adam, Moses, even the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. If you're not careful, when you get tempted real strong, you'll get discouraged and you'll think, my goodness, I must not even be saved. All these wicked things coming at me and I'm tempted to do this. I must not even be saved or I wouldn't even think about things like this. I want to remind you this morning that even the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. Yield is a sin. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin, the old song said. Now when we yield to temptation, then of course we sin. The old timers used to say it, and the old preachers used to say it like this. I cannot stop a bird from flying over my head. I can stop the bird from building a nest in my hair. You can't stop the devil sometime from zapping something in on you. I heard a preacher just the other night say that things that he saw years ago come back in his mind and temptations to sin and things like that. The devil recreates those few good times you had before you got saved and puts them in your mind and says, my, my, wouldn't you like to have this again or do that again? And he tempts you. Now, listen, if something don't bother you, that ain't a temptation. A temptation is like a magnetic pull. You can feel something pulling you to get you to go a certain way. I've heard people say, well, I can just walk right through a beer store and it don't bother me a bit. Well, that's true. I can too. Don't bother me a bit. But I'll guarantee you that don't mean you're so holy, because there's something that'll aggravate the fire out of you. And there's something that'll aggravate the fire out of me. And the devil knows what your temptation is. And I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that it's harder to resist temptation than it ever has been before. And the reason it is because the generation that you and I are living in believes and teaches that you're not supposed to resist. That whatever your flesh would like to do, go ahead and let it do it. Whatever you want to do, do it. Fulfill your dreams. They say it's bad for you if you deny yourself something that you really want. And so the philosophy of the world today that you and I live in, if you listen to a lot of read books and listen to news commentators and some so-called doctors or counselors, they will say, well, if you really want to do these things, you should do and not suppress your natural desires, because it'll warp your personality and make you have hard feelings and throw anger fits and things like that. I'm telling you, the Bible said resist the devil. The Bible says resist. The Bible teaches you're not supposed to do everything your flesh wants to do. If you do everything you want to do, you'll wind up in jail. You'll wind up in hell when you leave this world. You are supposed to resist some things. There is an infallible law that God fixed in the Word of God, and it's simply this. It doesn't quote it like this, but it is this. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You hear me? You know why a lot of young people are so wild? They just ain't got burned real good. You let them keep going. Keep on out there. Some of you kids that think, I can fiddle around with sin and fool around with sin and I play around with it a little bit and I can drink a little bit or I can mess around a little bit. Let me tell you, you will get burned if you keep playing with fire. No way in the world. You take a little kid out here playing around with fire. You ever played with a fire? Stick your hand through it and stuff. I wonder what makes us want to do that. Wonder why we're made that way. Wonder why when you see a fire, you want to stick something in it. Okay, first thing kid want to do, grab and hold it in it. Hold it up like this and then do it like that. No, we're just something that draws us. I heard a man say one time that the reason we like to sit around and stare at a fire is because something down deep inside of us is telling us that's where we really belong. I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes a little bit of sense. I'm telling you this morning, we are in a generation that does not realize the power of temptation. The world says, just give in. The world says, mama said, don't go swimming on your way home from school. And the little boy takes his bathing suit along just in case he might be tempted. That's the generation that you and I are living in. Say, well, I ain't planning on doing it. But, you know, you never know. If the right opportunity comes along, I'll just grab it. I'm telling you this morning, the devil's tempting some of you. I have an idea. This Lord just laid this message on my heart, and I have an idea. There's somebody in here used to have a bad problem with alcohol and used to drink regular before you got saved. Now you've been saved 5 or 10 years or whatever, and boy, the devil's been tempting you. You got in an argument with your wife, and maybe you got in an argument on the job, and that devil's coming around and he said, why don't you just go tie one on? Why don't you just go get you a six pack and sit back and enjoy it? And that temptation is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in your life. Some of you here this morning, like he said, with marriage problems, the devil's been tempting you. And boy, the devil's putting something in front of you. And the devil says, looky here, look what you can have. If you're not careful, the devil will blind you, and the devil will blind you, and you'll step in it before you think and realize what you're doing. I'm telling you this morning, the Bible tells us that we are not supposed to do that. You know what? They said, I read about this spider, a certain kind of spider. It looks like a flower, and it's shaped just like one. I reckon God made it that way for its purpose, but it's shaped like a flower, and this thing will just go crawling up here, and it'll get on a leaf like that, and then this honeybee comes by. And the honeybee says, wow, look at that. I can get me some honey right there. And boy, he goes down there, lands right on the... He don't know it's a spider. See, if that thing turned around there and it really looked like a spider, he's going to say, a spider, and go this way. But he looks down there and he says, there's that flower. Boy, there's some honey in there. So he goes right down on there. And when he gets it, it's got honey in it all right. But it's not honey, it's poison. And that spider injects that poison in that honeybee, and that thing dies. The spider drags him off. I don't know what they do with them. Eat them or dissect them or do something with them. But I tell you what, brother, maybe they cut their heads off, put them on the wall or something like that. But anyway, brother, that bee don't set bee out there flying around no more because he fell trap. Now, let me tell you something, young people. The devil. All you young people, listen to me. All you married folks, listen to me. All you grandmas and grandpas, listen to me. But the younger you are, the more you need to hear this. The devil is not going to come up to you and show you his ugly face. He's not going to come with a pitchfork smelling like fire and brimstone and gouging at you and say, I'm the devil. Come and live with me. Do what I want you to do. Come on. He's not going to do that. He's going to do like that spider did. He's going to look down there and you're going to think, man, I'd like to have... You see no danger in it. You don't see the poison. But as soon as you take it, the poison is injected in you. I'm telling you, that's what temptation is. If it don't bother you, you ain't tempted. If it don't pull you, there's no temptation there. Now, let me give you just a little brief outline right quickly. And you listen carefully. I want to talk about the source of temptation. Where does temptation come from? We've already established the fact this morning that temptation does not come from God. God does not tempt us to sin. God allows us to be tempted, but God Himself tempts no man to sin. Well, where does it come from? First of all, it comes from the devil. The Bible said the devil came to Jesus in Matthew 4 and tempted him. And then second, it comes from our flesh. In James 1:14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and entice. A lot of times we say, boy, the devil's tempting me, and it ain't the devil at all. It's just our old wicked flesh. Brother, you'd still be just as wicked if the devil was on the chain gang. That's our flesh. Our flesh tempts us to do wrong. Our flesh wants us to do something wrong. A lot of times people say, the devil made me do it, you know, and all of that. The devil really never made you do nothing. I mean, you choose to do what you do. I've heard people say, well, I just couldn't help it. I gave in. That's not true according to the Word of God. When you and I sin, we choose to sin. Amen? There's a point where you decide, I'll do it. I've heard people say, well, Brother Danny, I just couldn't help it. It just overwhelmed me and the temptation got me. You're never going to get help from God until you get honest. Get honest. Be honest this morning. Say, yes, there was a point when I chose to do what I did. Nobody made you do wrong. Nobody made me do wrong. You choose to do what you do. I'm just like God don't make you do right. The devil don't make you do wrong. Now listen, if you lean toward God, He'll help you. If you put your out thoughts in your mind and you want God to help you, He will. And if you want to do right, God will help you do right. And if you want to do wrong, the devil will help you do wrong. Come on, get honest with me. Some of you people this morning sitting here saying, well, I just can't help it. I'm weak. You're weak because you chose to be weak. I'm weak because I chose to be weak. We deliberately neglect the Bible. We deliberately neglect to pray. We deliberately neglect our prayer life and fill our mind with the things of the world. We chose to be in the shape we're in this morning. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm going to go see a psychiatrist because you're making me feel guilty. You'll never get help from God until you feel guilty over what you've done wrong. And then God can get rid of that guilt for you. Thank God this morning He's able to help us overcome temptation. He's able to help us say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has keeping power if we'll turn our lives over to Him. God can help us. Now, if He don't, it's because we decided to do it our own way. I won't give you a verse of Scripture. I might get off my outline here, but let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know the verse? About verse 13. There is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. What does that mean? That means you're not going through something that a whole bunch of other people ain't went through. The devil will make you think, in your case, it's different. There's no way that you can overcome this temptation. You just remember, there's 10,000 other fellas going through the same temptation you're going through, men. There's 10,000 other women going through the same temptation you are, ladies. Don't you think that yours is different? It's not. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now listen, the next source of temptation this morning is evil companions. You'll get yourself in more trouble by hanging around the wrong crowd than you ever have in anything else in your life. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice thee. If they come on, they say, hey man, hey, come on over here. Hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Say, hey, I heard you guys was drinking. No, we won't make you. You don't have to drink any. Just go with us. See? Just go with us. Remember a long time ago, and God gave me a little bit of sense before I got saved. I've never done any kind of drugs. I've never been drunk. I don't even know what it feels like. But I remember this boy, me and him was in a car one time. He pulled out this marijuana joint. And he lit that thing up. He said, you want to try it? And I wasn't safe. And something in me said, mm-mm. Because I was always skeptical. I thought, well, them fools, they don't know what they're smoking. They don't know where that stuff come from. They don't know that stuff liable to keep. You know, I was lost, but I did have a little bit of sense. I can't believe somebody would take a pill from a total stranger and pop it in their mouth. I can't believe anybody would be that dumb. I mean, how dumb can a person get to say, here, you want some in your party and you don't even know who they are and you drink it? I mean, you had your head looked at lately? You don't need to be out running around loose. You'd take a pill from somebody and you don't even know what it is. But I'm skeptical of the ones the doctors give me. Amen, man. You don't know. I mean, don't take that wrong. I thank God for them. And I like old Jim White got up here. He blew everybody's mind in the camp meeting. He said, I thank God for drugs. Everybody said, what? He said, I thank God for drugs. And I thought, oh my soul, what's he saying? He said, I'm not into pain. He said, I don't like pain. Thank God. So thank God for the right use of them, right? I'm telling you, those evil companions, they'll get you out there. And that boy said, here, you want to try it? And I said, no. He said, oh, come on. I said, no. You say, wasn't you pressured? No, but see, the pressure is kind of opposite. He kind of looked up to me instead of me looking up to him. I remember this boy, he's the boy I told you about. I used to win my lunch money off him shooting basketball. At break, we'd go in here and he'd say, you want to shoot me for a quarter, Castle? I said, yeah, he's crazy enough to do it. I do it, you know, I'd hit from a corner. And I'd say, give him a quarter. I'd win money off him all the time. Next day, he'd come in there, you want to shoot me for a quarter? I said, you dumb enough to do it? I'll do it, you know. He wasn't. He was about 2 or 3 years. He tried his best to get me to smoke pot. And something in me said, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Now, there's other things I wasn't smart enough to leave alone. And ever since seeing that there was something always in me that scared me. But after I got saved, I realized what that was. That was a devil making a bid for my life. And let me tell you something, teenager. You're not showing how smart you are when you do stuff like that. You're showing how unsmart you are, to be nice about it. And I'm telling you this morning, that is the source of temptation. Do you know when the most dangerous time in your life is? It's in your off hours, when you have a little leisure time, when your mind's kind of kicked in neutral, and you know, that's why I teach people to stay busy, stay busy, stay doing something for God. That's when the devil will get you, when you're by yourself, or when you're just kind of taking it easy and relaxing. That's many times how he'll mess up your life. Well, let me say right quickly, secondly this morning, reasons for temptation. You ever wonder why God lets us us be tempted. Well, it seems like sometimes that God wouldn't just fix us when we get saved, or where sin wouldn't bother us. We'd have a lot better testimony, wouldn't we, if it was like that. But He don't. He don't. Somehow or another, He leaves us with this sinful flesh till we die. God's got it figured out so that your flesh ain't going to be perfect till you die, and you're going to be stuck with this stuff until you leave this world. And God allows temptation to come for two reasons. Number one, He allows temptation to come to you to test your faith. Now you say, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. It's more precious than gold. You say, well, Brother Danny, if God already knows how strong I am, why does He want to test me? So that you will know how strong God is in you. That's why. To test your faith. And then the second reason God lets us be tempted is to test our obedience. As He did Abraham there in Genesis chapter 22. Bible said God tempted Abraham. He told him, He said, Abraham, get up. Abraham said, yes, sir. God said, take your son. Abraham said, yes, sir. God said, take him up there and kill him. God had already promised him a nation from that son. Can you imagine Abraham? I imagine Abraham, if he'd have been me and you, he'd have said, this couldn't be God talking to me. Because God never contradicts Himself, right? And He done told me He's going to make a nation out of that boy. Now He's telling me to kill him. For a minute there, I thought that was you, God. I'm going back to sleep. But Abraham knew the voice of God. And he knew that God told him to do it. And he got up as a man of God, took that boy out there, and he said, I don't understand it. It don't make sense. And it almost seems contradictory to what you've told me before. But he had in his mind that God was so great, He could even bring that boy back from the dead after He killed him. And that's what brought Abraham through. That's what brought Abraham through. He believed God, and God blessed him, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, a lot of times God will let us go through a temptation that will absolutely, listen to me, I'm getting ready to say something to you this morning that you need to hear. God will let you go through an unbearable, almost unbelievable temptation to do something wrong sometime or another in your life. And brother, when you pray, you can't find God. When you read, you can't feel God. I mean, it's just like the devil and the flesh and the world just all over you and all around you, and you're just fighting, and you think you're drowning, and you think I'm going down, and I'm never going to come up. But you need to realize, like Abraham, that God Almighty is up in heaven, and He sees everything you're going through, and He already knows the end from the beginning, and God is letting you learn how to trust Him. Amen? It may be financial. It may be a physical temptation. It may be a temptation to drink alcohol, or to run around on your wife or your husband, or leave your family or something like that. But God knows what that thing is. And I'll tell you something else, brother. They're like these bridges. You go up to a bridge, you know, like this, and you see these bridges. A lot of them have load limit, 15 tons. Load limit, 30 tons. That means that you're not supposed to drive a truck over that bridge that's over that load limit. Do you know God knows our load limit? And did you know nothing can't come our way unless God allows it? And did you know if the devil says, there's old Todd, he's got a big old sin getting ready to run over Todd, the Lord says, wait, hold it right there. Let me check his load limit. And the Lord won't let the devil run over you with nothing that you can't handle. That's encouraging. You say, oh, I don't know if I believe that or not. Okay, let's say that ain't true. Okay, that means the devil can do anything he wants to with us. Can you imagine what would happen if the devil done it? We wouldn't be so right then, brother. If God turned the devil loose on us and said, all right, you can just have Danny Castle do it, why, he'd knock me off before I got to my car this morning. God is protecting me. A lot of times we think, praise God, I've stood the test. How brutal is it? We ain't done nothing, brother. If God let the devil loose on us, he'd make mincemeat out of us spiritually before we got home this evening. But I thank God this morning there's one up there that knows my load limit. He knows what I can handle. He knows what I can bear. And boy, about the time I'm about to break, God says, I stop right there. Leave him alone. God told the devil, he said, you can have Job's family, but you can't touch him. Job, the devil got his family. Killed all of his kids. He said, but I didn't kill his wife. That was part of the problem too, brother. Yes, sir, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny. He'd have been a lot better off if she'd have died. I'm not trying to be ugly. I mean, he left her alive on purpose. She tried to get him to cuss God and die. Devil knew what he's doing when he left that woman alive. Killed him kids. Left her alive to torment Job. You know what she told him? He said, honey, I'm dying. I need help. She said, your breath stinks. That's right, brother. That's right. That's a sign of a demon-possessed woman, ain't it? Talk like that. Well, I don't know if I ever said that or not. But, I mean, just hateful. You know, just hateful. He said, honey, I need you help. She said, oh, won't you just cuss God and die? And then the devil come back and said, Job fears you. Does Job fear God for naught? God said, all right, get his body. But you can't kill him. There's been a few times in my life, I'm going to say this and I'm going to hush in a moment, when I felt like, God, I'm going to break. If you don't do something for me, I'm going to break. God, this thing is bigger than I am, and I can't handle this by myself. And every single time when that happened, every single time when that happened, God stepped in and done something. We're His children, folks. He knows what you're going through. And the problem is this morning, I'll leave off about 4 points of my outline and tell you how to have victory over temptation. Our problem is we like to flirt around with sin. That's our problem. I mean, I deal with Christian people all the time, and I am one. And I know our problem. We say, we know that's wrong. God forbid that I should ever fall into sin. But we like to kind of entertain the thought, just maybe, what would it be like if the old buddies come back around from a long time ago? The old life pops back in your head. That right there is where, as a man thinketh in his heart, where we mess up is we start letting ourselves think about stuff we shouldn't think about. And whatever you sit around and think about, you're going to wind up doing. You hear me? You have got to get the victory in your mind. You've got to let Jesus Christ dominate. The only way you can do that is spend enough time reading this Bible till it runs all that other junk out of you. It's like flushing a toilet, brother. It's just like flushing out a radiator. It's just like running out of a ditch. Just flood the trash out. It's the only way you're ever going to get victory over it. I'm going to show you how to get victory over temptation this morning. You remember 3 or 4 things. You remember God's faithfulness. Number 2, use the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. Every time the devil tempted Jesus, he said, it is written. The devil said, yeah. It is written. The devil said this, it is written. You don't discuss it. You don't have a conversation about it. You don't say, well, under certain, maybe. No, it is written. That's the way to handle it. Number 3, by praying. Watch and pray, Jesus said, lest you enter into temptation. A lot of times the Lord will burden our heart to pray. Has He ever done it to you? And you know God wants you to pray, and you don't pray, then you fall into temptation. Number 4, flee. They sometimes, when it's proper for a Christian to run. You say, I don't believe that. You read 2 Timothy 2:22. You read Proverbs 4:14. You read Genesis and the study of Joseph when that woman grabbed him. And he said, let go of me! She said, oh, Joe, You look just like the little boy on the front of the magazine at the grocery store. He said, let go of me, you witch. She said, Joseph, come in. And he ran out and left his coat. You know, she had his coat in her hand. And he run and did the right thing. Sometimes you need to just turn around and take off running. You say, oh, they'll call me chicken. They'll call me insecure. Let them call you what they want to, brother. It's more important to be right with God. Number five is resist. Resist the devil and he will what? People say, the devil just aggravating me to death. You know why, don't you? You resist him, he runs. You give him a saddle, he'll ride you to death. Except, like that one little girl, I said, how do you resist the devil, honey? She said, because I got a little door on my heart. And she said, if I hear somebody knocking, and I go and I look through the keyhole, and it's a devil, I go tell Jesus to answer the door. Amen. That's the way to do it. Amen. If the devil comes at you and says something, say, all right, I'll fight it. You'll say, Jesus, help me. Call on your big brother, brother. I mean, to ask the Lord to help you. And then accepting God's way of escape. There's what we mess up a lot of time. Right before we do wrong, God makes a way of escape and we don't take it. And we know. You ever seen that door? You ever let the Lord say, there's a door, you better get out of here. And a lot of times we don't. I can handle it. Be all right. A few minutes won't mind. First thing you know, you're doing wrong. Doing wrong. I'm telling you, there has never, listen to me folks, I'm closing. There has never been a time in the history of our nation when it is as easy to fall into sin as it is now. It's easy. And don't think it can't happen to you. Don't ever think it can't happen to you. It's easy to give in, but them scars will stay on you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll sing a song in just a moment. I feel like there's somebody here this morning. So I can't go to the altar. People will think terrible of me, Brother Danny. They'll think I'm doing some awful sin. Wouldn't embarrass me to get down there on the altar and pray this morning. I ain't trying to put up no front like I'm so holy. If the devil's tempting you, let's get honest with each other here in this God this morning. If the devil's trying to put things in front of you and tempt you, or maybe you just want to come and pray, you feel free to come to this altar this morning. Dear God in heaven, Lord, there's some of my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, they're going through many manifold temptations. I don't guess we ever get victory totally forever, but we can on a day-by-day basis, and help us to realize that. Lord, help us to realize it's our fault when we sin. God, help us to confess our sin and forsake our sin. God, thank you for these that you're dealing with this morning. Now speak to other hearts, God, and do what ought to be done. Lord, let us leave here this morning with a stronger determination we've ever had before to stand for you and do right. Yield not to temptation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.